Today, I interview Sonia Rebus, an amazing fertility coach, all about holistic fertility. We talk about what holistic fertility even means, what are some of the keys to the success she has had with clients, how she supports not only women, but also men, some of the downfalls with the fertility system, and so much more. This was such a special episode, and I can't wait for you to soak in all of her knowledge and wisdom. Let's go. Welcome to Healthy as a Mother, the podcast for becoming and being a mother, with your co-hosts, Dr. Leah Gordon and Dr. Morgan McDermott, two naturopathic doctors who get it.
Each week, we teach you how to be the healthiest mother you can be, from fertility and preconception to pregnancy and birth prep, through postpartum and throughout motherhood, empowering you with the natural health guidance and education you're not getting elsewhere, so you can confidently navigate the broken system at large.
The real, the raw, the untalked about. And remember, this information is not intended to diagnose, treat, or manage any disease. Always consult with your doctor before making any changes. Let's take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors. Having adequate levels of minerals and proper hydration are essential when balancing your hormones, optimizing your fertility, trying to conceive, or preparing for pregnancy. For Dr. Morgan and I, ingredient quality is of top concern, and that's why we love Relight Electrolyte Powders by Redmond's Real Salt. Relight contains Redmond's ancient, unrefined sea salt, which contains 60-plus trace minerals in and of itself. Relight powders conveniently contain the appropriate proportions and forms of calcium, potassium, chloride, and even two forms of magnesium, malate and glycinate. These are essential for hormone balance, energy production, and overall wellness. The best part is they taste delicious and they have so many fun flavors. My personal favorite is lemon lime, but I know Dr. Morgan loves their strawberry lemonade. Visit redmond.life and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 15% off any of Redmond's products, from their electrolytes to their OG sea salt, other seasoning salts, natural toothpaste, and bentonite clays. Again, visit redmond.life and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 15%. Here's to happy hydrating along your womanhood and fertility journey. Okay, back to the show. Sonia Rebus is a sought-after LA-based fertility coach and a mom of three. In her last 15 plus years, she has successfully coached thousands of couples struggling to conceive. Her highly personalized, transformational, and integrative lifestyle-based approach, which covers everything from nutrition to well-being, make her an expert guide in her clients' path toward parenthood. She helps couples one-on-one, in groups, and in collaboration with fertility clinics around the world in order to help patients boost their fertility from every possible angle and maximize their chances of conceiving both naturally and via IVF. Besides helping couples conceive healthy babies, she is a wellness educator and extremely passionate about inspiring people around the world to lead healthy lifestyles. She constantly collaborates with international lifestyle media outlets and companies as a consultant, speaker, educator, and expert health coach. You can find her at soniarebus.com and on social media at soniarebuscoach. Okay, Sonia, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. I can't wait to chat with you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So you do a lot of work with holistic fertility. And before we get started on diving deep into some of the stuff, can you just clarify for us what holistic even means, especially in regards to fertility? I think we see that a lot. It's kind of a buzzword. Can you explain from your perspective what that means?
Awesome. Thank you for asking me that, because it's true that holistic is used all the time and everybody means different things by it. So for me, holistic means a 360-degree approach. So I aim to boost fertility from every possible angle, always with a natural approach, you know, lifestyle-based approach to fertility. So not medication, not intervention, not treatments like that.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. So you work as a life or a fertility coach, and you've had a really good success rate. Can you kind of speak to that and what that means by success rate? And, you know, when people start working with you, how does that look? And like, what's your secret to helping people get pregnant?
Thank you so much. So success rate, you know, I always aim for 100% success rate. If we call success people transforming to their fullest potential and upgrading their health and their fertility to the best version of themselves, I yet have to find somebody who has regretted that. So If we call that success, then I aim for 100%. Now, obviously, being a fertility coach, I am measured on the number of pregnancies that happen within my program. So if that's the measure, then it's 70%. So from the women that, or the couples that work with me, around 70% walk out of the program pregnant.
Amazing. And so what kind of approach do you take? It sounds like, you know, you have this holistic approach. Like, what does that mean? What kind of things are you working on? Is that, you know, are you doing more investigation? Are you working on, you know, their diet? Like, tell me just kind of what your approach is.
Cool. Yes. So at the beginning we meet and we kind of like establish where we are. I listen a lot. I want to know the full story, what has been done so far, why it hasn't worked, and everything that has happened up to that day. And then we start our program together. The program is 4 to 6 months. So I always tell mm-hmm. them, I need at least 4 months with you, because the eggs you're going to be ovulating in 4 months are starting to grow right now. So I need four mm-hmm. months to optimize your egg quality. So we're going to be together between 4 to 6 months, depending on if you're pregnant or not. Now, in the program, we do three steps together that are kind of blended in the program, and for everybody it looks a little different, but the three steps that we try to accomplish is what I call detox, nourish, and flow. So detox means that we will remove the obstacles, what doesn't work, typically inflammation, systemic inflammation, cellular inflammation, trauma, things that need to be healed, things that are holding you back, whether it's physical but also mental, emotional, energetic, or spiritual. Step number two is nourish, which is nourish your entire body as a whole. So when people come to me, they've typically been treated as a reproductive system only.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you'll agree with that. We look at them in a much more, like much wider angle. So for me, it's an ecosystem where everything is interconnected. So we mm-hmm. need to nourish that. We need to nourish that with a holistic approach that we said earlier, which means from every possible angle. Okay, so that means we need to boost nutritional density in everything that we do. So yes, we talk about nutrition, we talk about supplements, hydration, weight management, movement. We have a lot of workout videos because I'm a movement junkie. Mm-hmm. We talk about stress and cortisol levels. We talk about sleep and circadian rhythms, relationships, mindset, inner dialogue, lots of tools around that, emotions, how to manage the roller coaster of emotions, their relationships, their sex drive, their libido, environmental toxins. And there's a lot also about modules about empowerment and connecting to your inner power and finding mm-hmm. it and boosting that and making it shine. So Amazing. In a nutshell, that takes us actually to step number three, which is the flow, which is the personalization of all of this. That's why mm-hmm. no two programs look alike for me. Mm-hmm. And that's because of the principle of bio-individuality, which means every person is very different, right? So step number three is flow, is how do we personalize all this for you to move the needle for you so that we can bring you to what we call homeostasis. Homeostasis is the state in which you are in harmony, you are the healthiest possible, all your body functions are working optimally, and that's when typically we see quote-unquote miracles happen and we see women get pregnant.
Amazing. So when do women typically find you? Are they coming in preparation for pregnancy? Have people been going through the infertility journey for a long time by the time they find you? Where? Because I know for me, depending on where a woman is on that journey, it can be very different as far as how willing they are to wait and how hard it is to, you know, navigate all of that. So where do you tend to work with people where they're at?
So typically they'll come to me when they've been trying for a while and either they've been told that IVF is their only option or they've tried IVF and it didn't work out. So that's typically when they find me.
So when you do the first stage of detox and like removing inflammation, what do you find? Because I feel like that's kind of another word, sort of like holistic or stress. It's sort of thrown around, but I don't know if a lot of people really understand it. In your experience, where would you say these imbalances of inflammation or things that aren't serving them are coming from?
So for every person, it looks different. For some people, it's very much on the physical side because they're eating something that's inflaming them, or they're not eating well, or they're eating too late at night, or they're not chewing their food well. or a combination of all of it. So for some people, it's more on the physical, or for example, they're not moving according to how they should be moving. So I have a lot of people that work out too much. So like we need to tame it, or people that are not moving enough. So I always say, hey, movement should be something that adds energy into your day, not drains you. Mm-hmm. So it could be various things on the physical. Some people don't sleep well. We need to tweak the night routine. We need to set them up for success on that front. Some people have stress. So for some people, it's more on the physical layer. For a lot of people, it's also the emotional and the mental, because when they come to me, typically there's trauma that has already occurred. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's been, you know, the journey never looks pretty. By the time they come to me, you know, either it's too long or a lot longer than we would have anticipated, or things have happened that have been traumatizing in one way or another, or things have happened in your childhood or in your past. So the mental and emotional layer is very important for everybody as well. And even if you don't have trauma, what everybody has is chronic stress.
Yeah.
So nowadays, we've all normalized being in what we call the sympathetic nervous system, which means we are in fight or flight for most of our day. And the problem is that the reptilian part of our brain doesn't know the difference between a lion that's about to eat me, or I have a deadline at work, or I'm struggling to get pregnant. All these for your reptilian part of your brain is I'm in danger. When your sympathetic nervous system is activated, only the function, your body functions that are related to survival are active. And guess what's not necessary for survival? The reproductive system.
Right.
So if we spend our whole day with our sympathetic nervous system activated, that means we are in fight or flight. Our reproductive function is suffering no mm-hmm. matter what.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of the times we hear, oh, you just need to relax, which is really annoying to hear because it's not as simple as that. But it is true that if you are operating on sympathetic nervous system, you are not prioritizing your reproductive system no matter what.
Yeah, I know. I say this all the time that as someone who went through infertility, it's the most triggering thing to be told to just go on vacation, just relax, reduce your stress. And as a doctor and someone who works with people in fertility, there is so much truth to that. And why so many people say it is because there's so many experiences that they have where either they themselves or someone they know really does shift into that parasympathetic or that reduced stress state and they get pregnant. And so it's infuriating to someone going through the process, but there's so much truth to that. Like I always use an analogy that it's like a light switch where if the light is on, if you're in your sympathetic, like there is no dark, like you can't have both at the same time. You have to switch back and forth. And what kind of things do you do to help people? Because I think this is such a key part of fertility. And because it's a triggering topic, no one actually talks about it or actually makes steps to help it. What do you find really works for your clients to get them out of that chronic stress? Because I think a lot of us recognize like, yes, we are stressed, but what do we do?
Yes. So it's different for different people. We work with a lot of tools. I always say to my girls, I'm going to throw a lot of things at you. Not everything's meant to resonate the same way. And mm-hmm. we're going to see what truly is speaking to you right now and what mm-hmm. isn't. And don't worry about incorporating it all. For some people, they like or they need the cognitive side of things. So for example, some people truly need the exercise of like diving into your thoughts, analyzing them, seeing that you're making your life miserable based on things that you're spiraling, you're snowballing based on not facts, just interpretations or your thoughts or, yeah, things that you're kind of like pasting together that are not really the reality. So for some people, we do more exercises on that. Like, for example, we use an exercise that's by Byron Katie. She wrote a beautiful book, which is called Loving What Is. And in that book, she offers four questions and a turnaround. You probably know it. So that's one of the tools we use when the person needs that kind of narrative, that kind of exercise. You know, I need to dissect my thoughts. I need to understand that the story I'm telling myself is not serving me. It's based on a lie. It's very abusive towards myself. And therefore, I'm going to learn to talk to myself better. And through this process, by being kinder to myself, by being more conscious about my thought process, I improve. So some people need that. And some people need to bring it to the body.
Yeah.
Of like, hey, go work out, go sweat, go for a walk. Like I need to sweat, for example. I need to process my cortisol, like boom, out of my body. So for that, we have meditations. We have a lot of workout videos. We have a lot of ideas. And also a tip that I always tell people is hot and cold. So if you feel you're snowballing and you're in a rabbit hole and you're torturing yourself, a good way to snap out of it is hot and cold therapy. So go take a hot shower or a cold shower or go get some ice water or go splash ice water on your face, like something hot and cold or a cup of tea that shakes you out of it. So that's bringing it down to your body and allowing for your physiology to take over.
Amazing. Yeah. I also find, at least with my journey, I'm more of a cognitive person, but I also felt like a lot of my blockages were subconscious.
Yeah.
Do you see that a lot with your clients of doing subconscious work and trauma that, you know, because you know, I always bring it back to the example of a person, not that I'm projecting on myself, but a person who has a perfectionistic tendency who tends to overcommit, you know, because people will be like, I'm so stressed because they have so much to do. They, you know, they're either working really hard or they have so many activities, their schedule's just completely packed. And to tell them like, stop that, you know, it's, they can't just stop that because there's something subconscious that's driving that behavior that can go, it can be stemming from something that they aren't conscious of, right? Like for example, in my example, it was, I was shown love as a child through achievement. And it's like you internalize these things that I'm only worthy of love. I'm only worthy if I'm doing, accomplishing whatever. But that's such a masculine way of being and is sort of the opposite of fertility. So I pull that in too, and I'm sure you see that so much. Do you see a lot of subconscious patterns driving the behavior that leads to the stress?
Yes, sure you do. Giving me the chills because this is my favorite topic in the world. One of the books we work on is by Joe Dispenza, which is called Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself.
I love that.
And the idea is exactly that. It's the scientific explanation of what you're saying now. So a lot of our behavior is subconscious. If you want to change who you are, if you want to change your outcome in life, but also who you are in your body, you need to start by changing your subconscious. So we need to access the subconscious part of your brain. We cannot rely on motivation. We cannot rely on only discipline. We need to go into the subconscious. And it's a beautiful, concept. So in my program, we do that through meditation and through repetition. So we have a bunch of meditations that lead us to a very relaxed state in which we can access the subconscious and also a lot of repetition because the subconscious is accessed through repetition. So everybody in my program works through something that we call positive self-affirmations. We have some template, but we all eventually we have to build our own. So positive self-affirmations that speak to me might not be what speaks to you. Or what speaks to me today is not what's going to speak to me in 3 months. So that also changes. And it is an essential part of our morning routine, in addition to movement, in addition to other things, to read out loud or quiet every day our positive self-affirmation so that we can penetrate the subconscious part of our brain.
Yeah. Amazing. I love that. I love this work. It's a huge part of my journey as a person. And I think is so needed and not talked about that much in the fertility space. And I get it in the sense that us going through infertility was primarily male factor. And everyone feels like they kind of know what's going on. There's so much unsolicited advice in the fertility space, you know, and people automatically, when I say that we're struggling to conceive, assume it's me, right? And then they like dish out all of their advice of go on vacation. Have you done this? Have you done that? Little do they know that my husband has like no sperm, right? Like that's why we can't get pregnant. Yeah. So it is, but even in our situation, male factor, there's still so much within me that I needed to work through and process and optimize and stuff. And so with that in your program, do you see a lot of the pressure being put on the woman primarily? Do you see the male playing a big role in the fertility journey? Do you include them or involve them? Or how do you see that going down? Because it is 50% of, you know, fertility struggles is male factor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm so glad you're asking me this. So I always try to include the man, the male part of the couple, as much as possible, as much as they will let me.
Yeah.
It is my mission, one of my missions in this life, to educate men to be more proactive, more open about this, and to educate them that getting help is a sign of strength.
Yeah.
Because I feel that in this society, for both female and male, we struggle with asking for help.
Yeah.
But especially men. And
or admitting that there's an issue. Like to me, it doesn't show a sign of weakness. I find I'm so much more attracted to my husband when he can be like, yeah, I have no sperm. And like, what are we going to do about it? Versus being like, nothing's wrong with me. You know, this like toxic masculine, like I'm fine. There's nothing wrong with my fertility. Like to me, that's such a turnoff, even though in their like mind, they think they're so macho. I love and respect my husband so much. And I feel like he's such a divine masculine leader that he can sit and acknowledge the obstacle. And then it's like, okay, what do we do about it? You know?
I love that. I love that. This opens a chapter, which is a little bit off fertility, but it's coming to my mind right now, which is the concept of masculinity nowadays.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because I see this with all men around me, how, you know, there's such a crisis in terms of what being male today means. And I don't necessarily want to get into this topic because it's very controversial. But when it comes to fertility, I will say, let's be open. And, you know, statistics say it's 33% male factor, 33% female factor, and 33% together.
Yep.
In my experience, having been doing this for 15 years, most people, in most cases, it's a together.
Yeah.
So it's more than 33%.
Yeah, I agree. Even in my case, like it was primarily male factor, but I still had a polyp. I still had a uterine polyp that I had to get removed and, you know, all of these things. It's like, even though I had nothing and maybe with another partner who had like tons of sperm, it would have been fine. And I would have, or maybe I would have had a few miscarriages. I don't know. But I'm sure even in our case, we never had a chance to know, but it was probably both of us, you know, to some degree. And so I agree. I think it's a lot. It's a couple situation, but a woman's burden, I feel like, which
completely.
It's an odd and it's a unique health obstacle because of that, I would say.
Agreed. 100% amen. I'm so glad we're talking about this. So for all the men out there, please get tested and get involved, because also like, even when it's the woman, you know, okay, let's say we call it a woman factor. A lot of the times, like, you know, I see her kind of like doing it all by herself and the man kind of like laying on the couch, like eating McDonald's. And I'm like, hey, you know, can you please help? Because what we're doing here is an effort, you know, it's not a walk in the park to upgrade your health. And, you know, it's a sacrifice, you know, like obviously we work on that too. And I always tell them, don't think that you have to, think that you get to. So we work on that too. But hey, you know, if your partner's there supporting, it makes a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And so a lot of the couples that you see, it sounds like they've been trying for a while. And in our current medical model, they shift a lot of people to IVF right away. Again, I'm not anti-IVF. I wouldn't be a mother without IVF, but our situation is so much more unique, I would say. And I also have a big beef with how much couples are shifted to IVF without working on anything. Like, what do you see in that regard? A lot of the people who've maybe gone through IVF and have had it fail or have been recommended that, yet you end up helping them get pregnant. Can you just speak to that? Because I think most people don't realize that they have other options.
Absolutely. So the first thing I will say is that statistics say that 50% of IVF cases are not needed. Mm-hmm. So that's from, you know, from the get-go, you know, if you've been told IVF is your only option, I mean, I would encourage a couple to look further and to get further testing and to empower themselves to first upgrade themselves to the very best selves when it comes to health, physically, emotionally, mentally, energetically, and spiritually, before you start talking about invasive treatments that are, number one, very expensive, and number two, have side effects. And I've seen people with side effects for a long, long time.
Yeah.
So this is not something to take lightly. However, if you have, for whatever reason, because it's your only option or because you've decided you're going that route, there's a lot of things you can do to optimize your chances of success. So that's mm-hmm. something we do here. We do both. So I yeah. either work on avoiding IVF when possible, mm-hmm. but whenever we've decided, okay, we're going to do this, I work on optimizing their body, their system to maximize their probabilities of success.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times what I see is that people have walked into IVF without knowing what it was, without preparing. And I always tell people, this is like showing up to your wedding unprepared. You wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
So if you're right. going to go there, you're going to go to the altar, go ready. Yeah. So we use that analogy. But yeah, you know, whatever route you take, optimize your chances naturally first.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm a huge fan of that, obviously, because, you know, even in my courses and programs, I have a lot of those resources because I saw firsthand going through it how you would think that these IVF clinics would be helping their couples to have better outcomes because it helps everybody, right? Like, but there's also this part where sort of, I mean, if you have a failed round and you have to do it again, like they do make more money. It's like this balance of they want to have good success rates, but then they also make more money when it doesn't go well and you have to do it over again. So not that everyone who does IVF is just out for the money, but it's just shocking and it blows my mind how little support there was. I mean, I've said this on the podcast before, but even going to the top male reproductive urologists in Southern California when we were navigating my husband's case, I asked them point blank, is there anything that he can do to optimize his sperm, you know, which I knew the answer. I'd read all the literature. I knew the answer. I wanted to see what he would say. And he said no. And I was like, oh my gosh, you have to know a teeny tiny part of a ginormous thing. And you don't even know what's happening in like your own field. And it's just such a disservice because you could be helping couples and it just like makes me just so sad that he said there's nothing to do, which is absolutely not true. The literature and the data is so clear that there is so much that you can do to optimize egg and sperm quality to improve outcomes. And I don't know, it's just infuriating. It makes me just want to scream.
Yes. And I'm so happy you're bringing that up. You know, I have a sister who is an anesthesiologist in Spain mm-hmm. in one of the top hospitals in Spain. She's not going to like me saying that, but it's the truth. And yeah. I'm going to review. And she has never taken a nutrition class in her life.
Yeah, I know. It's common. I mean,
medical school. So what I see a lot with doctors and, you know, I collaborate with some fertility clinics, especially in Europe, where actually we work as a team. So this is coming.
Yeah, absolutely.
To the same is coming, and thank God for that. But a lot of the times, doctors, when they don't know, they deny.
Yeah, I know.
And I see so that sad. All the time. It's their substitute for I don't know is to say, oh, this doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
Yeah, or if they don't understand something, like I have worked with a lot of patients who are on herbal protocols or different things and the doctors don't understand them, so they just tell them to stop them, you know? And it's like, can't we just be curious and wonder, like, how could this potentially be helping? So yeah, I've you know, found great clinics too, the clinics that I've gone to and stuff, but it's still, there's such a need for people like you and me. Mm-hmm. And I just wish that this was the first line, you know, that everyone did this first, because I would never wish the journey of infertility or the IVF process on anyone. And so it's like, if you have to do it, okay. But if 50% of cases are not needed, and we can, I love what you said about the 100% success rate at the beginning, because I feel the same way. It's even if you go through all of this work and you still don't have a baby, or you still have to go through IVF or whatever, you've completely changed your life for the better. And that's always a win, in my opinion.
Totally. That's
versus.
And that's why I only take couples who see it this way. So I'm very selective on who I work with.
Yeah.
And I always say, hey, if you're going to measure success walking out of here in terms of do I have a baby or not, maybe I'm not your person, because even though you're likely to have a baby here, this is not how I look at things.
Yeah, because so, we're not God. You can't make it happen.
Exactly. But if you're going to, if you're excited, like really excited about upgrading yourself to the very best version of yourself and seeing that through and being that version, not just for you, but also for your family and for your community, then I'm your person.
Yeah.
As a bypass, as a product of these, we will have a baby.
Yeah. I love that. I know. Because I always say fertility is a side effect of optimal health. And I think the conventional fertility model misses the mark on that so much. They're just like, fertility is something that we can manipulate and control. And it's like, no, it's not. And this is why it fails so much, because we aren't robots and we're not machines. And there are so many different aspects and layers to bringing new life into the world than just inject with medication and, you know, do all of these things. So yeah, I'm always walking a very interesting place, being in both places, because yeah, it's just it's a weird place to be in.
Let's take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors. There are so many factors that impact egg quality. Stress, toxins, and energy issues are just a few. Stress and toxins increase oxidative damage that negatively impact your eggs, and eggs need adequate mitochondrial energy to mature properly. It's so important to support your eggs no matter where you are along your fertility journey. I personally love Needed's egg support product to do just that. I helped design this formula, so I obviously love it, but even if I hadn't, it would be the one I would recommend to my patients and clients. This formula is an antioxidant and mitochondrial powerhouse that supports oxidative damage and the energy powerhouses, mitochondria. It has key ingredients like L-carnitine, green tea extract, PQQ, and ALA. I love pairing it with Needed's prenatal to get your essential nutrients, as well as their CoQ10 for an antioxidant boost. Visit thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER at checkout to save 20% off your first order. Again, visit thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 20%. Okay, now back to the show.
For you, it sounds like when you work with people, so you do a lot of one-on-one stuff. So your program is it like a group hybrid?
It's a hybrid, exactly.
It's a hybrid.
So the curriculum is pre-recorded, so they go through the curriculum at their own pace. It's structured in 16 modules.
Gotcha.
And then the coaching side, we combine group sessions with private sessions.
Oh, I love that. That's really cool. Mm-hmm. Amazing. So what else do you see, or you've been doing this for quite a while, do you see the issues that are blocking fertility the same now as they were years ago? Do you see different things, like maybe since COVID, like are people more stressed, or are toxins more of a problem, or has it always kind of been the same kind of situation that you've seen as far as what's blocking and what is bringing balance back to people? I don't know. I just had that question because you've been doing this for a while.
It's actually a very interesting question. Definitely COVID has been dramatic in terms of what we were saying earlier of sympathetic versus parasympathetic nervous system. I think that COVID was a phase in which more or less everybody went into panic.
Yeah.
So I've seen a lot of trauma related to that. A lot of treatments were paused. A lot of journeys were extended because of that. There was a lot of uncertainty. The vaccine, whether we are pro or anti, I'm not going to go in there, but I've seen a lot of modifications in women's cycles because of or as a result of the vaccine or having had COVID. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that has been a huge kind of like, you know, dark time for fertility, for sure.
Yeah. And sperm too. I feel like we've seen a lot of, or I've seen a lot of sperm changes and stuff. And yeah, it's just it's a different kind of world in lots of different health spaces with cancer, with, you know, clotting, all sorts of stuff, with miscarriages, mm-hmm. all sorts of weird pregnancy stuff. You know, it's just a different kind of space and world.
Totally. So yeah, that for sure. And what I see, I don't know, that's more on the philosophical side, but
that's okay. I love philosophical stuff.
I'm going to sound really old by saying this, but it's what I think. The new generations are very used to instant gratification.
Yes, yes.
And they get very, very impatient when they, you know, when I want to get pregnant yesterday, why is it not? Why is it not? And every single month they're like, I can't believe it. I got my period. And I'm like, well, this is a marathon mentality. They cannot stomach marathon mentality because the new generations are very much into instant gratification. And if it hasn't happened within a month, they're like, they get really, really like super frustrated.
Yep.
So I am seeing that I need to adjust my coaching tools and my coaching skills to that, because in my generation, I'm not that old, but there's a difference.
We are
not so kind of like oriented to, I want it to happen right now.
Yeah. No, I think that I'm so glad you brought that up. And I think I have a module in my program about fertility energy, and I'm sure a lot of what you address is similar, but it's the same kind of concept of this slower living, this lack, because it's the masculine energy, right? Mm-hmm. So masculine isn't just boy, girl, it's an energetic thing. And this instant do, like I need to have what I want right away and I can just work to have it. You know, Dr. Morgan and I talk about this on the podcast a lot about how we are used to, as a society, having whatever we want, or there's a thing that we can do to just overcome that and get it. And I think with fertility, for a lot of people, it's the first time that they maybe have that experience where, oh, I can't just, you know, build a better resume and get this job that I want, or I can't just, you know, go get the money to make it happen. Even if you have all the money in the world and you can go through IVF, it still doesn't guarantee you're going to have a baby. And I think that that concept is really hard for people, and that the answer is actually in doing the work, doing the holistic work like you're talking about, and slower living and addressing these parts of ourselves that maybe we don't want to. And so yeah, fertility is just, it's fascinating because I feel like in our modern world, we have to, I was talking to Dr. Morgan about this. I was like, we have to tell people now to go outside. Yeah. Like, and it's hard. They're like, oh my God, when am I going to go outside? And, you know, just a couple decades ago, that was just a part of our everyday life. And so the things that create the environment for us to be fertile and have children, mm-hmm. we're just working, like our whole society is working against it all the time. And not only do we have to work against that, we have to learn what to do to work against it. It's not just a default as to who we are as a people anymore. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Amen to all that. And also there's a physical side of things, you know. Statistics say that a woman today at 20 is less fertile than her grandmother at 37.
Wow. And why do you think that is? What factors do you think are playing a role?
Well, a very important factor is the nutrients in food, mm-hmm. for example, or the pollution, mm-hmm. or the plastics, like everything's plastic around us. So in terms of environmental toxins and in terms of the nutritional density of the foods that we are exposed to, there's huge, huge difference. They say an orange today has less nutrients than 5 oranges a few decades ago.
Oh, isn't that crazy? I know. Oh, so, my gosh.
Yeah. And obviously we wait longer, and I don't want to judge that because, you know, we have different lives, but we wait longer.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I'm about to do a post on that exact topic, sort of around feminism and how
because I'm very philosophical too. It's funny being a doctor because I feel like there's so many aspects that aren't doctor-like that I feel, but that's what plays into the state that we have. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with the feministic movement. I think it was helpful for certain situations. A lot of women would never be where they are today in the workplace and all of that, but it sort of separated us from, it's like these women were trying so hard to not be women, like in the sense that we are, for the women who want to actually have babies and bring life into the world and do all of that, so much of what feminism brought into our lives is like the opposite of that, which they maybe wanted at the time. And it's this pendulum that swings so far. But now we're in this new age where women want to be mothers and can't. Mm-hmm. And it's so sad, you know?
Yes.
And it hasn't been that long that pendulum swung.
Totally. Yeah. You know, we talked about what's the concept of masculinity today? What's the concept of feminine today? Mm-hmm. And we could go on and on. You know, I think philosophically it's very interesting. And ultimately, I want to invite everybody to ask yourself what these things mean for you. And don't get carried away by society swinging you one way or another.
Right.
And if your calling is to be a mother, own it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's amazing. And I think that women need that permission, sadly, in today's world to be like, no, I actually like, I want to be a mother. I want to be feminine. And I think a lot of women, so what I like meant about that whole thing is, you know, I'm the product of that generation that fought really hard for us to have careers and to, you know, work outside the home and do all of that. I'm like the children of that generation. And so I was raised at least like, you can do anything a man can do. You know, you can have any career. Like, I mean, my dad, you know, was like, you don't need a man. You know, he was so proud of me when I became a doctor, all of these things, which is lovely in its own way. But then there's this, where was I going with that? I had this whole concept of because it was so prioritized and so encouraged, there's now this generation, my generation in their 30s, that are kind of waking up to be like, oh, like I was pursuing this cultural understanding and desire to work hard and go to college and get a career and do all of this. But then there's this biological awakening within them where they want children. And now they're waking up to like, oh my gosh, I'm older now. I know nothing about health. I know nothing about my body, you know, like all of these things. And not that every person was set up, you know, for that from their family or their culture, but I think it is very different. And now we're like that generation that's kind of being thrown into, oh my gosh, like we have to unpack all of this stuff. And now we're kind of running out of time, you know, to become mothers. And so I know this is kind of off topic for what you do in your program, but
very much. It is very much on topic because it requires for you to get pregnant, it requires for you to tap into that softer side of you, that feminine. Yeah. We can call it many names, and sometimes some names are triggering and I don't even dare to.
Yeah.
But like, think more. I always say to my girls, think more goddess, less warrior.
Yeah. Yes. That's great. I love that. That's beautiful. I'm currently pregnant, for anyone who follows knows, and I'm reading a book called Labor Like a Goddess. Mm-hmm. And this is a similar thing because I had this whole idea come to me about the feministic movement and how, you know, we have to work so hard as women now to just be our normal biological selves, and because I'm preparing for labor, right? Which is another act, just like becoming pregnant, of this divine feminine inside of us or whatever. And you know, there's so many imbalances that can go wrong in the birth space too. And that's like a whole other conversation and topic, but in the fertility space, yeah, I just feel like it's a topic that no one talks about. You know, they're like, what's your AMH?
Totally.
Okay, cool. How many eggs do you have? Okay. But like, what is like at the essence of getting pregnant? And sometimes it's not just energetic. Sometimes it's absolutely physical. But I think it's interesting to just point out how we got here and why there's such a crisis of fertility and why so many people are struggling. And so, yeah, it's just another thought that I had.
Yeah. Yeah, amazing. We can go on and on. I love this topic. And I think it's one of those topics that I'm always very careful with because everybody has very strong ideas about it. And, you know, it's kind of complicated, but yeah.
It is.
I think that if you're struggling to conceive, you need to ask yourself, like, deep inside, use your intuition for that, because we don't use our intuition nowadays for anything.
Yeah.
And ask inside you, with everything inside me, like, truly ask yourself, where are my blockages? Where am I in my own way? Mm-hmm. Answers will come to you, whether it's physical or, and you can tell us, and then we can help you kind of like find answers and navigate you. Yeah. But a lot of the times at the beginning, we always do this, like, truly, like, you've been doing this for a while. So I say to people, what's in your way? And people are like, nobody has asked me that.
Like, I love that.
Asked me that. Think about it and feel it, feel it. What's in your way? And people are like, I don't know. But I always try to connect women and try to have them listen to their inner voice beyond what society tells you, beyond what your doctor tells you, beyond the naysayers. There's so many naysayers in fertility. Mm-hmm. And connect to your inner goddess, your inner intuition. And something we do here a lot is mother yourself, practice mothering yourself.
I love that. Yeah, that's so great. I feel like, we as women are so wired to help others and to provide for others and do for others. And it's a big reason why we say yes to a lot of things and overextend ourselves. And I've had this practice with patients in particular, like secondary infertility. So maybe they have a child already, but they can't get pregnant again. Mm-hmm. And this one patient is coming to mind where, you know, I was asking her about what she's eating in a day. And, you know, I always tell my patients to be super honest with me. Like, I don't want the whole like sugarcoated, like, oh, I have meat and a protein. You know, it's like, no, tell me like what you actually ate. And she shared it with me. And it's so common that we just see this, you know, she makes meals for her child and she's taking care of her husband and she's just like barely eating anything. And so, you know, the practice I had for her was to imagine that she was already pregnant and that every meal she eats, she's eating for her other child, you know, her child that she's pregnant with. Because for her in particular, it had to be that she was caring for somebody else, which is sad that we like can't do that for ourselves. But it really helped her to realize that, okay, me skipping lunch, you know, me giving my child the food, but me not making myself a lunch isn't just hurting me. It's actually hurting this like future child that I'm trying to bring into the world, because you have to be well nourished to bring another life into the world. And I see this a lot in secondary infertility, because it is demanding to have a child. I totally get it. And life gets crazy and all of these things. And whether it's a child or a career or whatever thing you're prioritizing, it's like, how can you imagine and pretend already that you're pregnant? Like, what things would you be doing differently? And I think so for some women, if they reframe that, it changes everything, because they're like, oh my gosh, like, I need to eat that lunch because this baby needs it, or this, you know, vessel of nourishment needs it for them. It's not just for me. And yeah.
Absolutely. I love that. I love that you're saying that. It's interesting. We have a lot of things in common. I tell them whenever I onboard them, I say, hey, you know, for me, pregnancy and fertility is not binary. So it's not you're pregnant or not. For me, I'm going to treat you as if you're pregnant, and we're going to call this preparation. We're going to call this trimester zero.
Yeah. Yep.
So we are already embodying the system, the ecosystem of being pregnant.
Yeah.
Generating life from the beginning.
I love that.
And connecting to that, as you say, connects you to that extra willpower, that extra motivation, that extra effort, or that extra mile that you wouldn't do just for yourself.
Right. Yeah. I know. It's amazing what women do for others. It's like, how can we get you to do that for yourself? And to see it like that, like, I think the biggest breakdown in our society in that regard too is that we don't value this preconception time, the prep time for pregnancy, because the data is very clear on how it improves fertility rates, on how it improves childhood, you know, health long-term. You know, it's no question of whether it's important. It's just hasn't been a part of our lives. And could you imagine if from a young age we grew up understanding how important that was and how different everything would be? It would just, I don't know. That's my magic wand dream for the world.
Absolutely. Yes. And one thing that, you know, since we're talking about generations today, one of the problems of our generation is that we are people pleasers.
Yeah.
The new generation doesn't have that problem as much.
Yeah.
Being a people pleaser is very difficult, what you were saying, to take care of yourself, because you're always catering to other people's needs first.
Yep.
And one of the huge topics in my program is boundaries.
I love that.
Everybody struggles with that.
Yeah.
Boundaries of like, do I need to go to this baby shower truly? Because it's going to be super triggering.
Yeah.
Or boundaries, do I need to entertain this conversation now? Do I need to answer when somebody's asking me, when are you going to have babies?
Yeah.
So many boundaries that we work on and we practice and we rehearse because it's difficult. And again, goes back to subconscious. So we need a lot of repetition. But yes, when you are, if you identify as a people pleaser, which most of my clients are, you need to learn to undo that and to understand that you come first. But that's not being selfish. It's beautiful. This, you, the world needs you as you first. You put your oxygen mask first on you before you put it on others.
I love that. That's so cool. I love that you talk about boundaries in your program. It sounds like you truly do have a very holistic approach, you know, because it just, there's so much to it. And I just, I think it's beautiful. So how can someone work with you? What does that look like? Do they apply? Like, how do they find you? Tell us all the things.
So they can find me on my website. That's soniaribas.com or on Instagram at soniaribascoach. So that would be the way to find us. And then you can have a conversation with us either via DM or email me to book a call with my team. And in that call, we will create a strategy for you and we will determine if we're a great match to work together. And if we are, we'll onboard you right away and we'll hit the road running.
Amazing. Oh, I love that you're a resource for people out there. It sounds like you have an amazing program. I feel like so many women listening to this could really benefit from it. So I appreciate you coming on and talking to me about all these crazy things that I like to talk about. And do you have anything that you want to say before we wrap up?
Well, I want to say congratulations on your pregnancy.
Oh, thank you.
Your second baby. And, you know, I always end with the same message because there's a lot of naysayers in the fertility world. So I feel compelled to counteract that. And I want to empower everybody who's listening, everybody who's trying to get pregnant. I want to empower you to reclaim your fertility. And asking for help is a sign of strength.
I love that. Amen to that. Yay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here. I can't wait for everyone to listen to this. And yeah, I hope you have a great day.
Thank you so much.
Let's take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors. Do you have your heart set on starting a family and are eagerly preparing to begin trying within the year? Have you been actively trying to conceive for several months? Do you have a burning desire to optimize your chances of conception and avoid the distressing path of infertility? Or have you been navigating infertility for a while, yet you yearn for new solutions, a supportive environment, and an approach that addresses the root causes of infertility? Our current fertility system is broken. Many couples receive almost zero support on optimizing their health and improving their chances of conceiving before or while trying to have a baby. 1 in 7 couples end up trying for over a year and then are often shuttled into the medication or reproductive technologies route like IVF. Although there is a time and a place for these tools, so many couples would have different outcomes if they had the education, resources, and support I provide in my Fertility Formula program. This program is a step-by-step, doctor-designed, holistic fertility solution for the couple who wants to conceive optimally. And it includes everything a couple needs to know with all of the resources I've created over many years seeing patients in practice. From mastering the cycle to boosting egg and sperm quality, balancing hormones, investigating female and male fertility, having access to order your own labs, both hormones and functional medicine labs, nourishing the body with eating and managing that whole aspect, fostering fertility energy, ditching toxins, reducing stress, rebalancing the gut and vaginal microbiomes, and detoxing prior to pregnancy, this program has it all. On top of that, it includes the bonus modules of breaking up with birth control, optimizing IVF if that ever becomes needed, and my pregnancy loss guide. This is the holistic information and step-by-step guidance you aren't getting from your regular doctor that will only improve your chances of conception and the health of your future baby, no matter where you are along your fertility journey, or no matter what support you might need, whether that's getting pregnant naturally or going through IUI or IVF. Visit www.womanhoodwellness.com/fertilityformula and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 15% off the entire program. Again, that's www.womanhoodwellness.com/fertilityformula and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 15%.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Healthy as a Mother podcast. In order for others to hear this information, please leave a review with Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and send to a friend who could benefit from this content. We're so excited to share more on becoming and being a mother next time.
And please remember that the ideas and views of this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to serve as a substitute for medical care of any kind, including the diagnosis or treatment of any illness or disease. Consult with your provider before integrating this information into your own care plan. And remember, a healthier future starts now, and it starts with you.